Welcome to the EDM Producer Podcast. I'm Steve, your host, and this is a show where we interview producers and DJs, and we ask them how they make their music and what they're doing in their careers. The whole idea of the show is to help you guys out there who are listening to get some tips and tricks and ideas and help you guys in your careers and your music making and adventures. So that's what the show is about. Thanks for joining us. Now, as we always say on every show, we always have an awesome guest, and this show is no different. Christian Lukes is joining us tonight, 2:30 in the morning for him. This was a bit of a fiasco, but we made it work. Christian, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, a little bit sleepy, but that will be fine.
Right? That's the life of a producer. This is like normal hours for you, right?
Yeah.
Where are you calling us from?
Groningen. It's the north of the Netherlands.
Oh, sweet. Always wanted to go to the Netherlands. How is it over there right now?
Yeah, well, it's pretty fucked up. Like, we've got a curfew. So at 10 o'clock, we have to be inside. It just went up 1 hour. So I think 2 weeks ago, it was 9 o'clock. Then we had to be inside. And now it's 10 o'clock. So yeah, there's nothing fun to do. The only fun thing to do is to go to the studio and make music in daytime. And no clubs are open, I think it's everywhere the same. But I saw that Landis, the label owner, was playing a few shows in Florida. So yeah.
Yeah, that's the place to be. I consider myself lucky. We have a great governor. He lets us kind of be free. And
But where are you calling from?
I'm from Florida. I'm in Florida.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of lucked out on that one. I kind of lucked out. But I'm happy I'm here. And you know what? You gave me, there's probably going to be a lot more music being made during Corona than ever before. Because like you said, it's what else are producers going to do?
Yeah, well, when it all started, I thought, I'm a producer. I was made for this, like to lock myself up in a chamber and just to make some music, and people will tell everyone like we cannot do anything, but we are producers, we are doing this all of our lives. So,
and did that work out well for you? Was that proven to be true, or after you were in?
No, not at all. No. Like in the beginning of the whole crisis, I felt a bit useless because I had one label and they didn't want to sign anything of me anymore. And then other labels, I just only sent my music to like the big labels. And they all turned me down like, yeah, it's okay, but just slightly not enough for us.
Oh,
and
man.
I made a track and it was... my reference track was the track of Landis, Hit the Flow. And then I figured out that Landis was starting his own label and it was on Hexagon. And I sent it to him and he was finally saying like, dude, that rock, man, I love it.
Nice.
So that's where it went off. And yeah.
Well, congrats on that.
Thanks, man.
That's the way to do it. You didn't give up. What kind of music are you doing these days? Tell us a little bit about what you're producing.
Yeah, well, I'm really into the funky stuff. Everybody has got his own way of explaining the word funky, but I really love the old school disco vibes, and a little bit more of the energy. And yeah, I think my track on Hexagon went a little bit more to the future house kind of vibes, but. The only thing I want to do with my music is just to let people dance. Like, there's a lot of EDM stuff. What's going on is like really fist pumping work. And I think 10 years ago, I was also like the big room. That was my thing. And then I once went to a techno party, like real underground techno, and I finally, from there, I finally understood why there were so many heads, so many shakers, so many plebs and that kind of stuff in the music, because it just for me now it is the material to dance, like to set your steps in your dance. It just, it's all on the hi-hats, on the shakers, on the claps. And in big room, there's only a kick. It's just and since that techno party, I wanted to produce more kind of like the more tech house part, kind of music.
That's awesome. It's kind of cool how you, the revelation was you make music tailored to dance. And that's the main thing you go by.
Yeah.
That's really cool. A lot of samples or synths or a mixture of both or what? What are you using?
Well, I started with, I think it's more like the sample based stuff. Like I started with lots of pianos and I didn't, I was not so good with the real synthesizers like Serum and Silent. It was just only the presets out of it. And I once bought a package. It was the complete Ultimate 11 bundle. It was from Native Instruments, and it was like a lot of sample-based plugins like pianos and drums and percussion and that kind of stuff. And then that was the moment I knew I wanted to make like the funky stuff, like the with the real instruments. And that is also where the saxophone in my latest track, Put Your Hands Up in the Air, it's also I worked the saxophone out in with a sample based plugin. And then I invited a friend of mine, and he did it with a baritone sax. So
a real one?
Yeah, a real one.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat. That's the cool shit there. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Very cool. Isn't it funny how like you buy complete 11, and then for the first day you say, I'll never need to buy another VST ever again.
Yeah.
And then that lasts for about a week.
yeah, definitely. Like it's a real annoying hobby. Like every time you want to just want to have just more. But I think since I from the moment I installed Serum, that was the moment I really wanted to know how all the parameters work and how all of the like the filters, the distortion, and like it. Since then, I didn't want to buy anything. It's just the only thing I wanted to know is how does it work? Because like sample-based plugins are, then you're living in the box, you know? And with like Serum, you can just go nuts and just, it's just endless options if you know everything.
That's the thing. That's the thing with all of EDM. It's too endless that it's almost prohibitive. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. You have too much freedom. You got to have enough barriers to make things interesting. When you have too much freedom, it just gets a little crazy. But so did you learn it? Did you figure it out? Serum?
Yeah, every day a little bit more. Like first of all, I started with the presets, but now I'm just doing my bass lines with init presets and like from the moment you start to know what Serum has got, I don't know how to figure it out. Like when I'm sitting with Serum and I just wanna hear a bassline, I just heard on Spotify or something. I know when it's a round bass line, I have to start with a sine wave or with that kind of stuff. But when it's like more of a crunchy one, I have to use another wavetable and a little bit of distortion on it. You can tune your distortion in Serum. Like you can say what kind of distortion you want on what on what frequency.
Oh, really?
And yeah, that's unique, you know, like, and there's so many ways to distort your sound, and there are so many ways to like the hyper thing, like, it's hard to figure out what it does, but it's like always cool. But if you're using too much, your sound will be phased out. So it is always a little bit, and that's how I make my bass line at the moment. So
that's cool. How did you learn from tutorial, like YouTube tutorials, or just messing around on your own?
Both.
Do you have any recommendations of if somebody wants to learn Serum very well?
Of course, YouTube. But I think it's good to look on YouTube, and it's good to know what to ask. Like, if you are asking like how to use distortion, that's a bad question, because it's like getting you everywhere, and you won't find the good tips. But if you are asking, like there are, I think, 12 distortion options in Serum, you can look up what the soft distortion does, or what the tape distortion does, or like, then you're getting your real answers, you know?
Yeah. That's a great idea. Like, just be specific in your searching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So what's your studio like? I mean, the last guest I interviewed, I think it was Psytrax. It's him, a laptop, and a pair of headphones. Now, that's a little minimal for me. I like to have some keys to hit. What do you have in your studio as far as any control?
Well, I'm in my living room right now. Like, my studio is like 50 minutes away with my bike. But I've got my own spot with like some isolation I'm having my studio in an old school, like and the old janitor was doing his work in the place where I'm sitting right now. So it's a little bit of isolation, and I've got two Genelecs, 8040s. And a MIDI controller of Novation, I guess.
Nice.
And it's Arturia.
Okay.
And my sound card is from UAT, like Universal Audio.
Yeah.
Best thing I've ever bought. Like, it's awesome. Like, if you ever want to have a real good interface, buy Apollo or something like that.
Which one did you get?
I've got the Duo USB.
And why do you say, what makes it great? The UA stuff.
Yeah, all of the plugins in it are awesome. Like, if I'm compressing vocals with waves, it is always, it really sounds like software, and the Universal Audio kind of stuff is like really giving that crunchy, it's putting some sauce on your vocals or on your saxophone, or it's just giving something extra, like the warmth of a real compressor is coming out of my interface. So it's unique. And like, all of the sound engineers who are working with Universal Audio all over YouTube, they're all saying like, what the fuck, how the fuck did you guys manage to just emulate hardware like this in software?
Wow.
Yeah, it's sick. But like, and you can nobody can describe it better than Justin Apollo. Like, yeah, my teacher. I did a mixing study in the middle of the Netherlands, and he was always working with Universal Audio.
Yeah,
and he told us like, sooner or later, you will get in touch with Universal Audio. And now you are thinking it's way too expensive. But when you start with Universal Audio, you will never stop using it. And you only wanted more. Like what you told me, like with just buying and buying more expensive gear and you want more. That's also with Universal Audio. Like if you've got their hardware, you want to have their software. And if you have their software, you want to have their microphones. And you like it's they're just awesome.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, I want to get one. You sold me on it. The messed up thing is my dad, who lives in like a retirement home, he has an Apollo. He has hearing and he has hearing aids. You know what I mean? And he's using all these compressors and stuff. And he wasn't like born a recording or mixing engineer. He just got it because he does some live sound up there and stuff. And I'm like, you have an Apollo. I need to get an Apollo. When your dad wears hearing aids has an Apollo, you need to get an Apollo. So
Like your daddy is a smart man, man.
Thanks. Is there anything else in your studio that you just love that you would recommend somebody has to get?
My coffee machine.
Yeah. What are you doing with that?
Yeah, like I love my coffee when I'm producing. Like I'm I think there's not a lot in my studio what is just making it really different from other people, but the thing like most of the people I know, like if I'm looking at the studio of Martin Garrix or what is he called? Like all of the DJs I know, they have got like a real big ass spaceship. Like it's just dark neon lights and just like futuristic stuff. And I just want to produce in a living room. So yeah. I've got a few plants. I've got some real soft colors, like, I don't know how you say it in English. It's like beige.
Beige.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's my my bass traps are beige. Yeah. Like, I just want to have the soft colors, like white walls and just like, lots of plants. I want to. I don't have a lot of sunlight in my studio, so I cannot have. I cannot have the amount of plants I really want. But
that's cool.
I just want to produce in like in a soft space, not in a futuristic space.
I'm with you. I want to produce in a comfortable space, couple of couches around, stuff like that. Plants though is that's the first I've heard. And I think it probably will be the only time that is being brought up. Yeah. If I said to somebody, like one of my other guests, what can't you live without in the studio? Or what do you, and plants is probably, you're the first. I think it's great though. Cause it's, you know, it's like life, you know?
Yeah.
Plus a couple cats running around too is a nice diversion. So
would be awesome. Yeah, definitely. But like sometimes it's just, I cannot be in the studio for like days. And then the cat will cats won't be happy.
Yeah, you're right. They get pissed off. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what else we got here. Let's talk about like your career right now. What would you say is your most proud accomplishment that you've achieved so far?
Signing Hexagon. Definitely. Like a few years ago, I think it's like 2.5 years ago, I signed Actuation Music. Those guys are badass. Like I knew them before they started with Actuation, I started with Bomba over there, and I only I almost hit a million plays on it on Spotify.
Nice.
And those guys are like in promotion. They are nailing it. And nowadays they have got like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And Spotify is awesome. But like they have got a fan base who are really into like the hard music, like real badass EDM, the Tony Jr. kind of stuff, you know, and. That's not really my cup of tea. So I and Hexagon was always like one of my favorite labels, and when they started, they were like all of the tracks they put out. I thought they were great. Nowadays they are putting out like 7 or 8 tracks a week, and then it's just sometimes there is something, and sometimes it is not like the. I think they are aiming a little bit wider.
Yeah.
More kind of genres.
Yes.
Diverse. But like it was a real big dream of me to sign on the label of Don Diablo. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, tell us again how you pulled it off in more detail. Like, how did you make that happen?
Yeah. Well, in 2019. Landis put out Hit the Flow, and from the first time I heard it, I was hooked. Like, I played that in every set of mine, and every time I played it in my sets, the whole crowd were like, whoa, what the fuck is this? Because it was different, you know? It was like heavy bass music, but like fucking groovy, and there was a saxophone going on, and I was like going crazy every time. And
yeah.
The only thing the vocals were doing were just hyping up. Like, there's just, I think it's like a, it is sounding like a rapper, and he's just only saying, come on, put your hands up, let's go. And before it drops, he's just saying, let's hit the flow. And that's the only thing is, there's nothing special about the vocal.
Yeah.
And I think he looped it like, a couple of times before it drops in the first time, but it's just so energetic, so groovy, and I wanted to do it. I wanted something like that, and I came up with a friend of mine, and he had a really electronic idea, and we started with it, and it was, do you know Steph DeCampo?
No, I've been out of the game like for a little bit, so I'm coming back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Steph DeCampo is also a guy out of the north of the Netherlands. Since the release on Hexagon, he became a friend of mine, so that's good. But like, he is like really big in his like in the housey kind of futuristic vibes. And the friend of mine, he came up with an idea with like a real like. Energetic idea with in his kind of vibe. But when we sent it to Actuation Music, they told us like, yeah, well, this is Steph DeCampo, man. This is just that, but he's better than you. So, and we were like, fuck. So then I told the friend of mine, like, okay, the bass line is sick, but the melody is just, the melody is just Steph DeCampo. And I told him like, maybe we just put a saxophone right there. And so we stripped the track, and then we put on the saxophone, and we were like, yeah, this is it, but we have to just get it even better. And then we had the drop with the saxophone like this, but like with the sample bass plugin. And I invited the saxophone player, and I told him like, I want to have this drop like this, and for the intro and the break, you can just go wild on your saxophone. And that, so he did, and I was like, I loved like the musicality he has. So yeah, you know, fuck it, I just sent it to Landis like that, and he was like, dude, the drop is awesome. But the intro and the break is just like, yeah, too difficult. I don't know, like, just loop something out of your drop. And just so I did, and I just removed my intro, and I removed my break, and just made it simpler, and just looped the saxophone out of the drop, and just put it in the intro and the break, and it worked out. And he was like, dude, you nailed the vibe, man. This is just the music I love. So
nice.
Yeah, it wasn't a perfect match at first, but like, we made it work. And yeah, I really love it that he just gave me the opportunity, and he's just a really nice guy. Like the I think a week before the release, we had a Zoom call, and I was like fucking nervous because that was the guy I was looking up to for like 2 years. Yeah. Like from Hit the Flow, he was like one of my favorites. And then 1 week before your release, you are just calling with the dude you are always looking up to, like, you know? So, yeah.
That's amazing. But yeah. Nice work, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So, what have you found is the best way to get your music out there and get it heard?
You know, I really suck at that. Like, I'm producing from when I was 15, and I'm 28 now. And I think the first record that came out from me was when I was 23. And it was just because I sent one of my tracks to House Patrol, and they would want to sign it immediately. But after that, I just found out like House Patrol was just, I had to pay them for the mastering. Mm. And so, yeah, like, to say it short, they fucked me. Like, oh. If a label is telling you like, I want to get your music out, but you have to pay $60 for the mastering, you know, you're getting ripped off.
Okay.
Like every time, like a label who wants to do your mastering and wants to get paid for it, that's okay. But if there is, if a label tells you to pay them first and then they get the record out, then you get ripped off. If they are saying like, we are doing the mastering for this amount of money, but you are paying that from your royalties. So, you have to pay it from all of your plays you're getting. Like that's a good deal.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah, you should never just give money to a label. I did, and yeah, just they ripped me off. Like they put it on Spotify, and it, yeah, I think it just got 1,000 plays, but like they didn't do anything for me. And after that, I was just like, yeah, no, I don't want that anymore. So the only aim I had was for the big labels, and I think that's not that's not the right way. Like there are lots of smaller labels, or maybe not so small, because like some labels are just really badass in promoting. Like Actuation was badass in promoting from the moment they start, and so. I think I really sucked in the last 7 years. Just I should have put more music out to labels, like smaller labels.
I see.
And I think I've, then I've made, when I've done that, I've made way bigger step than I did now.
Nice. Great advice, man. Yeah. Dropping some really good stuff today. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you up too much later, so let's just do one more question here.
Well, I'm awake now. So fine.
Were you drinking coffee? Is that what you're drinking?
No, it's tea.
Okay, all right. what would you say if you had like one last parting word, like of information that maybe we didn't cover yet, that you want people to know, that, like a takeaway from this interview? What would you want people to know that are listening to the show?
I think a good thing is to just when you're producing, I think it's two things. Like when you're producing, never should say like, no, but they are better, so I will never be good enough, I will never be as good as they are, but this is good enough. Like that was what I was saying, like, yeah, no, but they've got a really good mastering engineer. So like, this is good enough, and the mastering engineer will do this. We'll do the rest. That's like the biggest fairy tale there is. Like, the mastering engineer is just doing tiny, tiny details. Like, if you think you're not good enough, you have to work harder.
I see.
And furthermore, you will hate your first tracks when they're getting out. Like, I think I've got 5 tracks on Spotify right now. And from the moment they're out, you will hate your own tracks, because you've listened to your tracks like a million times. But everybody who are listening to it for the first time, they will love it. Like, I had one track and I put it out myself because there was no label who wanted to sign it. And immediately a guy from the Netherlands, he asked me like, dude, can you send me an extended mix, because I'm playing on national radio and dude, I want to have it in my, it's like a really summer mix. So I want to have your music in it. And I was like, dude, I really hate my song, man. But I didn't tell him, like, I said, yeah, sure. Just put it out, man. You want to put it on national radio? There you go. But I hated it. And every time I listen to it now, like, I think it's, we're 1 year, it's 1 year ago. And now I'm listening to it, okay, yeah, good job. But,
so that hate wears off after it's out there for a little while.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, like, you're doing a good job. Like, when I'm listening to tracks I made 5 years ago, I'm listening. Okay, like, the mixing was a little bit off, but yeah. this is a great idea. But you will hate your tracks because you listen to it too much.
I see. That's awesome, yeah. Man. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd love to have you come back, you know, in a couple months or something and give us more info. I mean, this was a great interview, and I'm super.
The end of April, I will send out a hexagon mix. Like, I had the opportunity to do an all hexagon mix for Hexagon, and yeah. They will just whitelist it. So that will be on YouTube. And on the 7th of May, I've got a new track coming out, and that's on Future House Cloud. So that will be the next one. So
definitely.
If you want to know more about that, just invite me after the 7th.
I definitely will.
Nice. Nice.
And hopefully this way we won't have to do it in the middle of the night. We'll just do it.
Yeah, well, I really appreciated that you invited me, man. Like, it's a real, it's also an opportunity for me. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun stuff. And I love talking about this. And every producer I've interviewed, this is the stuff they like to talk about too. So, I mean, hope it was fun for you. Tell people where they could find out more about you and hear all your stuff.
Well, they can find me on Instagram. It's like DJ Christian Lux on Instagram. Facebook is the same, but I'm more active on Instagram. And of course, Spotify is the media to go to for my music. And it's also Christian Lux, like, not the DJ in front of it, but just Christian Lux.
Got it. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much again. That was tons of fun. And I actually drank coffee tonight. I don't usually drink coffee this late, but
oh really?
Yeah.
But I'm taking a picture.
Oh, are you?
And where can I find you on Instagram?
Oh gosh, you know, I'm old, so I don't do much on Instagram. But
oh really?
Yeah, man. I launched. This site used to be called edmmr.com. That's where I had the podcast. Yeah. I rebranded as Doll Junkie, and there's nothing out there for that right now. So I'm just rebooting under that name because I am a doll junkie. So there's not really anything out there yet. But it will be under Doll Junkie. We're going to have tutorials on the site, courses on the site, and podcasts on the site. And I'm just finally super excited to just start doing that again. It's what I've been wanting to do forever. I've been podcasting forever for different subjects. That's a long story, but not on this. And this is what I wanted to talk about. But
nice.
Doll Junkie is going to be the brand name, so that's where to look for me.
Okay. Cool.
Well, guys, that's going to be it for the show. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to it. Next one will be coming out soon. We are not going to go on an extended break ever again. Don't quote me on that. But I hope you guys are liking the shows, and I'll see you next time.